Welcome back to the program. I'm Zev Brenner. Live in our studios is Heshy Zeltzer. He's on the editorial board of Hakira, but he's on tonight for a very special organization which he formed a number of months ago called Netzach Yisrael, an organization which encouraged Orthodox Jews to advocate politically for the security of the state of Israel. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Zev.
You grew up as a Ger Chassid, and today you're more modern. What made you decide to go on this mission to make sure the Orthodox Jewish community becomes and gets more involved with Israel?
I tell you, my earliest memory of Zionism in our home is that I was probably first and second or second grade, and we had the radio on in our home, and there was Shlomo Ben Yisrael was then on. He spoke in Yiddish. I guess he was in the equivalent of what Zev Brenner is today, only he
WVD,
spoke Yiddish.
The station that spoke your language, right?
Yes. And I suddenly heard, you know, him talking about the state of Israel and Jews living there. And I was flabbergasted because all I heard in yeshiva is about, you know, Tisha B'Av, the Churban, you know, the Bismarck being destroyed, we're still in Galus. And I turned to my mother and I say, did Mashiach come? And she gets like this little smile on our face and she says, no, Mashiach didn't come, but we do have this, you know, state now of Jewish people. And I was flabbergasted. And like from that moment, I was a Zionist. And the home I grew up in, even though my father was not a flag-waving, hatikva-singing person, he wore a spedek, a ger chassid, with everything that goes along with it. But his love for Israel was palpable. When I would come home some days and he would say, Heshy, did you hear how many planes the Jews shot down today? He was just so proud of it. And since then, Zionism has just been very important to me.
But what made you decide now, and that's a while back growing up in Brooklyn, what made you decide now that to embark on a campaign to educate, especially in the more frum circles, more of a love of Israel?
I think that until now we were sort of relying on non-Orthodox Jews to carry the burden of the support for the state of Israel, and they've been doing a remarkable job at it. The main organization, AIPAC, I believe has about 100,000 members, and it's being funded by money that comes from non-Orthodox people. But the problem is that many of these people are, at least their children are, intermarrying. A number of years ago, it was 40%. Now new people marrying is about 60% intermarrying. Their children are going to liberal universities that have fresh from BDS. And we're sort of seeing the support for Israel dwindling among these groups. The only segment of the population that's growing in the United States is the Orthodox segment. So if we don't step in soon to fill the gap, who's going to support the state of Israel 10, 20 years from now?
Now, the two components in the Orthodox community, you have the modern Orthodox and you have more of the Haredi, Yeshiva, Hasida community. So from what it sounds like you're reaching out more to the Yeshivish Hasidic community than to the modern Orthodox.
That's correct. The modern Orthodox are solidly entrenched with Israel.
Until they get to college.
Well, until sometimes they go to Israel and maybe they're in a Haredi yeshiva and they changed a bit or in college and, you know, they come under pressure from BDS. But it's more the yeshivish and the Hasidish people that we'd like to reach. Now, I understand that there are some that we're never going to reach and we're never going to turn around. But those Haredim who send their kids to a university, they value a secular education, they're already sending their kids to Israel to learn there, and they may have children who live in Israel. So these are the people who are open to it. They feel it in their heart, and they respect Israel. They want it to succeed. And these are people who we have to make comfortable really coming out and saying, yes, I'm going to openly advocate for Israel.
Now, you have, of course, on the left end of the Haredi spectrum, you have Neturei Karta, which is rabidly anti-Israel that goes to Iran and goes and gives support to Hamas and Hezbollah and all these terrorist groups and march with them and march against Israel. But you have some that are not Neturei Karta, but have some of that philosophy, that anti-Israel philosophy. How do you get to them?
Right. I think, you know, some of them definitely can be perhaps convinced to change, but, you know, that's a tough battle. It's not really a battle that I want to fight. I think, you know, when you talk about Natura Carta, these are people that, not so much that I disdain what they do, but I see how they've really been cursed in terms of, you know, the only segment of the Jewish population that is not happy about the Gula, is not happy about the modern Renaissance taking place in Israel. So, you know, they're carrying this big burden on their shoulders of, you know, not being part of it. But the people we really want to address is what I call the practical Haredim who already, you know, feel good about Israel. Only you don't see them being honored in newspapers for supporting organizations that support Israel.
What do you mean by that? Because I pick up some of the papers, especially in Brooklyn. I see a lot of dinners, a lot of organizations where people are being honored.
Yeah. If you pick up a publication like the FJJ,
the Flappish Journal,
you'll never see an ear there for someone being honored for some role in supporting Israel. They'll be for every single charity that's important to the Jewish people, for the community. But when it comes to Friends of IDF or AIPAC and NORPAC, no, you'll never see an ad honoring anyone for their work in those organizations.
Maybe we have to get those organizations to do more in the Yeshivish and Haredi community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think AIPAC knows this already. AIPAC instituted Glatt Kosher food in their functions now. They understand they need to. They've had an Orthodox person who was head of AIPAC for a while. And they're investing a lot of resources in the Brooklyn, Queens area to try to get more people. So, you know, AIPAC supporter, sort of on the high level, and there are many Jewish people that can afford to do that. Let's say, for example, giving $10,000 a year. They probably didn't have a dozen people in the Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island area that would give $10,000 a year. And even though these are people that very well, you know, do this for many other charitable organizations. So we want to encourage them to do it for organizations that advocate for the state of Israel as well.
So what is your battle plan?
Our battle plan is to, number one, try to get as many people as possible to register with us. And
What's about the information where they can go? We'll do it at the end as well.
Okay, it's NetzachYisraelUSA.org.
We're going to have to spell that.
Okay, NetzachYisraelUSA.org. If you simply type in Netzach Yisrael, probably any way you're going to spell it, you'll come up and Google Ads will point you in the right direction, so you should be able to have no problem finding us. But what we want to do then is, once we have enough people registering, is really start organizing seminars where people will come together, and hopefully we will have people from different organizations speaking there. So perhaps we'll have someone from Friends of IDF, someone from AIPAC, someone from NORPAC, really perhaps having little booths there and speakers where people can hear what they do and decide, you know, what organizations maybe they want to become part of. But, you know, it doesn't even have to be that they necessarily go ahead and join any of these organizations. I'd love to see new ideas, you know. You never know new ideas people come up with. People are passionate about the cause. They want to come up with some new idea of how to back Israel and how to help Israel, by all means.
So what I'm gleaning also that you not only want people to be supportive, more supportive of Israel, but to be involved and really reaching out to make sure that continued support for Israel continues
right.
In the United States, because we're being battered on the left with BDS and the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. Democratic Party has been shifting away from strong support. And I don't care that Keith Ellison is not the head. He's number two, so that's frightening for me.
Right.
And it hasn't really been discussed as much in Jewish circles. So we need to be more active.
Right. I think Jews need to be educated on the importance of the U.S. support for Israel. The United States now gives Israel about $4 billion a year in aid. Israel is free to use this money to buy the most sophisticated United States weapons. They share intelligence with the United States. And often the United States will use its veto power to veto anything in the UN, any resolutions against the state of Israel. So this is extremely important that Israel has the backing of the American government. But unfortunately, the support of the United States is sort of dwindling a bit at this point. And that is because many people who identify themselves as Democrats, part of the Democratic Party, are much less likely now to be pro-Israel. They go to university. They are part of here BDS campaigns and other organizations that are constantly calling Israel an apartheid state and sort of making, getting into their psyche. It especially hurts when the professors they take and people they look up to say, yes, Israel is terrible and it's an apartheid country. And this has an effect on them. And part of this, it's not just that these are all, you know, evil people in the university, but a lot of this stems from a Protestant ethic of supporting the underdog. So when the Jews had come out of the Holocaust and Jews were the underdog, Protestants said, yes, we have to support the Jews. But now that Jews are successful in the state of Israel and they see the Palestinians as an underdog, they're suddenly this, okay, we got to help the Palestinians.
No, it's certainly a big issue. We're speaking with Heshy Zeltzer, the organization called Netzach Yisrael, the organization which encourages Orthodox Jews to advocate politically for the security of the state of Israel. And you're trying to make inroads in the yeshiva community, the Hasidic community, but in order to be effective, you have to be working with Rabbanim, with rabbis in that sector. Have you reached out?
I have. And I come from a family of Ger Hasidim, and when Rav Shaul Alter was here in the United States recently, I went over to speak to him, and I said, you know, this is what we're doing. We want to advocate for the state of Israel. You know, what do you think about it? And he said, of course. I mean, what's the downside? What can be wrong with advocating for the state of Israel? Of course, you should do it, and you should be matzliach, and everything should go good for you. And then I also went and I spoke to Rav Dava Cohen. And again, I got the answer, you know, of course, what can be bad with it? You should definitely do it, and there's no question about it. He also told me that there's a statement in the Gemara, Ein lanu al mi lehisha'en ela al avinu shebashamayim, that we have no one to that we can rely on except our Father in heaven. So there are many people that take this to understand that, you know, we can take an attitude of sitting back, doing nothing, and God will protect us. But Dava Cohen says that that's wrong. That sentence really means is that we've tried everything and we've been unsuccessful and that now we can only rely on our Father in heaven. But the real way to do things is to go out there and do whatever we need to do to fight for what's important to us. And if we're totally unsuccessful, you know, then we throw up our hands and say, Ein lanu al mi lehisha'en. But that's not a strategy. That's
a last resort.
That's a defeat.
Right. No, it's a wonderful thought. Will they come out publicly? And to say this, they said it to you, will be said to the general public.
We were thinking whether, you know, we should try to get people to officially put their name to it. But there's a flip side to that, and that is that it leaves these rabbanim open to political pressure. So if they do it, there's always someone that can come to them and say, hey, why did you do it? Maybe you should renounce this. And we've seen this by sort of other issues in the community. So we decided that not really to take that route, but just to go ahead and do it. Anyone, of course, who feels they want to discuss this with their Rav should do it and, you know, get their proper sign-off from their own Rav. But we believe that this is a very clear-cut manner. And we really should be doing this.
Now, we're seeing, you know, two different sides of the coin. On one side, you see the Good Israel of America when they had the Siyum HaShas, and they got some flack for doing so. They had the chief rabbi, the former chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Lau, come and speak, and he spoke beautifully. He gave a wonderful Dvar Torah, but not everybody was comfortable with, but I think the majority was. On the flip side, you see not only Turi Kark, but the other groups that are aligned with them have the same five philosophies, also making a lot of noise and have a fair amount of people that are adhering to them. So you see both sides of the coin. So this is what you have to navigate.
Yeah. And the Aguda, they often cater to some of their most extreme wings. So even though they've acknowledged that, you know, while there may have been a debate about whether Israel is good for the Jewish people, you know, in the 1920s and 30s, sort of everyone believes now it's just the fait accompli, and of course it's good for us, and there's so much great things going on in Israel in terms of Torah being learned there and dwelling place for so many Jewish people. But yet there are sometimes they get pressure from their extreme wing, and they don't want to turn off anyone, so they navigate themselves a very thin line.
I do have to say the Good Israel of America have been strong advocates for Israel, and I can point to Leon Goldenberg and Haskell Bennett, and they're actually on the air with us as well, but they go and lobby in Israel and for a strong support of Israel, and you have others in the Good Israel as well that are doing that too. So you see that strong consensus, and I think having a former chief rabbi of Israel at the Siyum HaShas, which is a wonderful occasion where you get so many thousands of people that are attending is making a statement.
Yes, yes, it is. But on the other hand, Rav Herschel Schechter was there too, was not given a role to speak. So they themselves are, you know, always treading a very thin line, how far they can push the envelope in terms of openly supporting the state of Israel.
But the quagmire of Herschel Schechter is not really supportive of Israel. It's more of a supporter of modern orthodoxy and YU, and that might be a bigger hurdle to overcome than, let's say, having a symbol of the state of Israel, who is a chassid. Rabbi
right.
Lau is a chassid.
Right, right. But modern orthodoxy has always been defined by really two factors. Number one is openness to secular education. Number two, support for the state of Israel.
And the role of women. I'll add number three.
Okay. But that's, I guess, a more recent thing. So, you know, when you take someone who heads up YU now with a Rosh Kol of YU, and he stands for these two principles, which is secular education and support for the state of Israel, they're, you know, they're treading a thin line.
And the question will be, will the next CMO Shas, will Rav Herschel Schechter be allowed to speak? And I guess there's still some time for that to be determined.
Right, right. Let's hope they make the right decision.
So just to sum up, so Netzach Yisrael is a new organization to revive and to inculcate a new spirit of love for Israel, especially in the Haredi and the Yeshivish and the Hasidic community. You have a website. So for right now, if people want to learn more, be involved, this is the means, is through the website.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Let's give out a...
The website is NetzachYisraelUSA.org. That's NetzachYisraelUSA.org. If you misspell it, Google will point you to the right place probably anyway.
But as the months and years go ahead, so it's not only going to be a website, people can go to sign up, get more information, be apprised, but there'll be different events that will be geared towards this, getting this message out.
Yeah, it's a very robust webpage that we have for Netzach Yisrael. Number one, we have a new site that's updated continuously. We have more in-depth articles, which we continuously add to it. We have a research page, which lists about 40, 50 different organizations that advocate for Israel, and the users can go in and take a look at any of those. What we also then want them to register, so there's a registration page. And then the ultimate goal is to go ahead and provide educational seminars for people who want to go ahead and advocate for Israel.
Who else is involved?
This is sort of an offshoot of an organization called Chakira. So this is something that was thought about 10 years ago.
That's the Flapper's Journal of Jewish Thought and Law.
That's correct. And the people on our board who are behind Chakir are now part of this new initiative as well. I'm very excited about it.
Now, the ultimate question is, of course, in order, it ain't Kemach Ein Torah. If you have any funding, it's hard to disseminate the Torah. So where are you getting the funding?
The members of our board are committed to fund this. So,
and if people want to give a donation, they can do it on your webpage as well, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Let's give it out one more time.
NetzachYisraelUSA.org, NetzachYisraelUSA.org.
Heshi Zeltzer, who is the founder of Netzach Yisrael, as you heard, an organization which is trying to make Israel more on the minds than it already is, especially in the Haredi and the Hasidic and Yeshivish community, also on the editorial board of Hakira magazine, which comes, I think, twice a year.
Twice a year.
And people can get more information about that also?
At Hakira.org. That's Hakirah.org.
And we thank you for being with us. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Keep us surprised. I know it's, do you view it as being an easy task, or how long of a time do you think it would take to make some real serious changes?
I think as long as it takes, we're going to be doing it.
Hatzlacha, a continued success.
Thank you very much, Sev.
If you're looking for a great, unique dining experience, you have to experience Hapina Grill at 128 Cedarhurst Avenue in Cedarhurst. Under the supervision of the Vada Kasharus and the Five Towns in Far Rockaway, Hapina is cornered the market on delicious cuisine. You'll love the refreshing salads, Mediterranean sandwiches, prime rib steaks, shawarma, kebab, schnitzel, poppers, and Yemenite soup. Stop in for the lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., which includes a free soda, soup, and salad bar. You can't lose out with their five-star Sheva Brachot packages starting at just $25 per person. It includes a choice of eight salads, choice of entree, various appetizers, hot and cold beverages, as well as dessert. Their expert catering is available on and off the premises, including business lunches. One thing is for sure, you'll be pining for a pina, especially on Lil Shishi, when you can find all their Shabbos delicacies that you have been craving for all week long, including three types of chicken. Mitchell and Kugel, and so much more. So stop into Alpena at 128 Cedarhurst Avenue in Cedarhurst, or call them at 516-295-1800. That's 516-295-1800, or visit them online at alpenagrill.com.
If your eyes aren't becoming to you, you should be going to Newman's Optical at 3909 13th Avenue in Borough Park. Your eyes are important, and you shouldn't use anyone who's not so aye. Newman Optical carries the finest frames and lenses, some of them exclusive to them, so you'll look great and see well at great savings. From designer frames to progressive lenses, sport goggles, contact lenses, and more, Newman Optical are the people to see. Take it from me, Zev Brenner, a former optician. When I need glasses, I go to Newman Optical. There's a lot more to them than meets the eye. So if you're looking for the ideal optician, come to Newman Optical at 3909 13th Avenue in Borough Park. Open Sundays for your convenience. Eye exams available by appointment. Call them at 718-435-1253. That's 718-435-1253. Newman Optical.
Now you can have the most updated phone service using the latest technology with no equipment to purchase, maintain, and upgrade as technology changes. JiveTel is a customer-focused phone provider using the latest technology to handle all your phone needs. JiveTel's hosted phone cloud system with virtual receptionist and over 30 free additional features provides you with the best phone service on the market today. Their amazing customer service is always ready to help you. It just can't be beat. TalkLine uses JiveTel, and we highly recommend you do as well. For more information, please call 855-444-JIVE. That's 855-444-JIVE. Online at JiveTel.com. JiveTel, phone service made easy.
We hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. As this concludes Jewish programming for tonight. For continuous Jewish shows, visit our website, talklinecommunications.com, or our 24-hour-a-day listen line, 401-347-0304. Our podcast line, if you miss a show, is 701-719-1032. Our next scheduled broadcast is 10 o'clock on WMCA Saturday night. San Jose WMCA, Leon Goldenberg, Community Matters at 10 p.m., 10:30. It's Mashiach in the Air, Rabbi Shmuel Buppin, David Lichtenstein, the headlines at 11 o'clock, yours truly at midnight. Among our guests will be Heshi Zeltzer. He's with Netzach Yisrael, USA organization, trying to instill the Zionist Israeli spirit among the Hasidic and Yeshiva community. Don't want to miss that. That's Saturday night at midnight. WMCA, 570 a.m., as well as talklinecommunications.com. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to TalkLine, America's number one Jewish program with Zev Brenner. For more information on TalkLine's full range of radio and television programs, please write P.O. Box 20108, Parkwest Station, New York, New York 125, or call 212-769-1925. The TalkLine Communications Network.